This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Can exports turn things around?
Well, from our perspective, we're seeing not so much a bearish supply fundamentals, considering milk supplies globally are stable, and there is considerable heat and drought risk in all of North America, including heavy culling, but it's more of a demand pushback. High interest rates continue to negatively impact taking positions due to the cost of carrying inventory at the highest level in a decade. In turn, we're seeing more hand-to-mouth buying than I've witnessed in recent memory. China remains in a conservative recovery with more local milk and less importing, which is forcing New Zealand to make more skim milk powder, and those supplies are currently front-running European and U.S. products. Markets have little to no buy-side momentum in Asia. We expect over the next 3 to 4 GDTs to see more New Zealand milk being offered. So the export of U.S. product, which is typically helped by medium heat skim milk powder sales towards Asia, is now too dependent on low heat non-fat moving to Mexico.
Ron O'Brien, president of New Zealand-based Nui Markets North America in Miami, Florida.
Tuesday.
Today we get an update on cattle movement requirements with Darlene Conkle, a state veterinarian with the Wisconsin Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection.
Just a good foundation of good biosecurity and good record keeping is really important. We're starting to come into the season where we're probably seeing more cattle movement for a lot of reasons. The fair season being one, people getting their projects ready for fairs and getting set to go to the county fairs, which in Wisconsin will start up, will really be going strong in July and August. World Dairy Expo in our state coming up in the fall. In Wisconsin, we see a lot of cattle movement just on a daily basis. You know, there's a lot of movement coming in from other states and movement within our state. In the Division of Animal Health, we concentrate as far as our rules quite a lot on movement of animals as a means to control disease spread. So if you can keep animals from moving indiscriminately, or in particular, keep them from moving when they are likely to be shedding an infectious agent, then that helps reduce spread.
Wednesday.
The heat is on, and we're joined by Dr. Ryan Leiderman, Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
So I think when we're looking at that, recognizing, okay, what are heat and humidity going to do to our calves, and what can we do to combat that? Well, one of the biggest things that heat and humidity does in creating heat stress is it'll decrease intakes, decrease feed intakes in calves. And so baby calves, defined as a month of age or less, generally tend to suffer from heat stress at a temperature humidity index of, depends on the research that you look, somewhere between 75 and 77 degrees Fahrenheit. They start to get heat stress.
Thursday.
The National Milk Producers Federation is drawing a hard line with marketing a product called animal-free dairy milk. Joining us with an update is Chris Galen.
Yeah, so when you talk about fake dairy products, we have a new contender out there that has drawn the focus of National Milk recently that purports to be milk that is actually cultured in a laboratory. So it's not based on plant products. It's not something from an oat or an almond. It's actually a dairy protein that's cultivated in a lab, and it's put in a product called Bored Cow, B-O-R-E-D, Bored Cow. And they're saying that it's animal-free dairy milk, which sounds really confusing because obviously if you think that something is animal-free, you can't have it be dairy milk, but that's how they're marketing it. So recently, National Milk sent a letter to the Food and Drug Administration protesting the way this product is labeled, because it's very important that we draw a hard line here, Bill, that these lab-grown products, whatever the technology used, but they're coming out of a laboratory, that they not be able to use dairy terms.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Form, and there is a new player in nutrition, and it's called isoacids. Isoacids basically are branched-chain volatile fatty acids, and they are commercially available now. They are isobutyrate, isovalerate, and isoleucine. And for some of your listeners, you'd say, gee, I think I've heard of this before, and you're right. About 30 years ago, a product called IsoPlus, being manufactured by Eastman Kodak, appeared on the marketplace and had some initial success. But one of the real problems, Bill, was odor control with the product. And so these branched-chain volatile fatty acids can really do several things in the diet. Number one, it can increase NDF digestibility by 10%. Number two, it increases microbial efficiency. And, of course, there's an increase in milk yield by about 4.3%. And, of course, that's added more profitability to this one as well.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.